not away from the noise. I'm going to start by singing a song that was from a very quiet time. It was sort of a what I call an outdoor kind of song, a going down the road kind of song. And my father always kind of sounded like that when he was going up the hill to the barn to milk the cow in the evening. He and my mother milked. He always did the feeding, and she milked. The cow wouldn't let him milk her because she was used to a woman. And when my mother got sick, my father had to put a bonnet on and an apron and go out and milk the cow. Otherwise, she'd just kick the bucket right out of his hand. Sometimes people would be going by neighbors who lived way up the holler on up further than we did. And I'd hear them going out of sight singing some old love song like this. And it was kind of a sound that I remember from my early childhood. This is a love song called Come All You Fair and Tender Ladies. And it's a song that you would like to sing out in the hills by yourself. It kind of keeps you company because the hills would take it and throw it back and forth among themselves, and they would sort of sing the song too. Come all you fair and tender ladies, take a warning how you court young men. They're like a bright star on a cloudy morning. First they'll appear and then they're gone. They'll tell to you some loving story, declare to you their love is true. Straight away they'll go and they'll court another, and that is the love they have for you. I wished I was some little sparrow, that I had wings and I could fly. I would fly away to my false true lover, and whilst they'd talk, I'd sit and cry. But I am not no little sparrow. I got no wings and I can't fly. So I'll sit right here in my grief and sorrow and pass my troubles by and by. Young man, ne'er cast your eye on beauty, for beauty is a thing that will decay. I've seen many a dark and stormy morning turn into a bright and sunshine day. My father always played the dulcimer. I think I've got the wrong one, though. Here, I've got two or three dulcimers, and they're all tuned a little bit differently. This is the one I wanted to use now. This is tuned for the Shoemaker song. And my dad played, as I say, he was a shoemaker of sorts, and so we used this song about this time of year in Kentucky, well, a little earlier, or maybe the 1st of November, middle of November. It starts getting kind of chilly, chilly enough to stop going barefooted. And you go barefooted all summer because you don't have money for shoes usually. And but Dad had having 14 children made a big difference in how many pairs of shoes you could buy in the fall. And I was number 14, as I say, and my two older sisters were already married when I was born. I was born an aunt, and it's one of those families, you know. Really disconcerting to a little girl to be carried around by her nieces and nephews. and them calling you aunt before you can even know what an aunt means. But anyway, Dad had to mend the shoes in the fall. He had a stand behind the door with some lasts of different sizes, and he'd fit them over that stand and cobble the shoes. And I was, being the youngest one, never had a new pair of shoes until I was 9 or 10, 11 years old, but I outfoxed them because my feet got to growing and outgrew all the girls, and so I was one of the ones that got the new shoes by the time I was 12, and they had to take the hand-me-downs. But when I was little, I had to take they was funny-looking things because they were, they had new soles and new uppers and new soles on that and then other uppers on that and half soles on that, and they looked kind of funny by the time they got down to me, but they kept my feet warm in the schoolroom, and that schoolroom was kind of cold because it had old pot-bellied stove in the corner, and you'd have to get right close to it, and then you'd get too hot, and you'd get far away, and you'd get too cold, and so school was a little bit of a hard time in the wintertime, too. But anyway, here's the song we'd always sing and to tease my father with when he would mend up the shoes, called the Shoemaker Song. Where do you reckon I'll find it? Well, if it ain't right in front of me, bet you $5 I'm behind it. Fall the doll, diddle I fall. Fall the doll, sing rowdy-o. Fall the doll, diddle I fall. Pardon back in a howdy-o. My old woman's a good old woman, and I'll tell you all a riddle. Her tongue is loosened at both ends and tied up in the middle. Oh, fall the doll, the diddle I fall. Fall the doll, sing rodeo. Fall the doll, the diddle I fall. Thornton, Beck, and a howdy-o. Oh, woman, if you don't hold your tongue, you're scolding and you're greeting. I'll tan your hide and make my shoes and wear you out to meeting. Oh, fall the doll, the diddle I fall. Fall the doll, sing rodeo. I'm a trade, I work in stormy weather, and I can make 10 pairs a day from a side and a half of leather. Oh, fall the doll, diddle I fall. Fall the doll, sing rodeo. Fall the doll, diddle I fall. Forward and back and howdy-o. Going back to sort of early, very early memories of mine, the things that people used to use to bounce me on their knee, you know. Could be a mom, or could be dad, or could be one of those many, many, many sisters I had. There were 11 girls in the family and just 3 boys, so I had a whole lot of bosses and people who tried to bring me upright and not spoil me. They all would accuse the others of spoiling me. So it's very hard to be the baby, to be the younger one in the family, because you have so many people who think they know exactly what to do to bring you upright. And none of them knows any more than the others, and they're all kind of fight over it. And it was an interesting life anyway. But the nice things I remember was being bounced up and down on the knee, and Mom and our dad, or one of the sisters, or sometimes a brother even, saying little old foolish things to me. This one was just something I remember. It's not even a song. It goes, prettiest little girl in the county, oh, prettiest little girl in the county, oh, prettiest little girl in the county, oh, Poppy and Mommy both says it's so. And another one is, swing a swong, days along, little bluebird and a sparrow, Little doggy burned his tail, have to be hung tomorrow. Of course, when I started going to, what did I do with that pick? Have I lost it all? Here it is. It's the same color as the quilt. It's hard to see. This is a, we usually use a feather pick like this, but they break easy, and this one is has already gotten too blunt, I think. I've got several, but this one we put out is not exactly a good one. It's not whittled down right. And what I have for a substitute is a piece of a diet mazola top that you cut off, make a pick out of it. It's nice and flexible, and you can cut it as big as you want it, and it does a whole lot better than a store pick. But anyway, when you, I was going to carry on that prettiest little girl in the county O thing. It also goes on with what do we do with this baby O? Send him off to Mammy O or send him off to Giorgio sometimes. Wrap him up in calico, wrap her up in calico, send her off to Giorgio. And after a while, that song got to have another kind of tune and got several verses to it. And I think the way it happened was that on Saturday nights, we always had a party somewhere, and Mom was telling me that when they had a new preacher in the village, they'd always have to call those parties play parties because they had to make the preacher believe that they were playing games and not dancing. So they called them play parties for that reason, and people would go and, well, they'd get on the floor and do the kind of what looked like the steps to the running sets, or what you might call square dancing now, although we did it in a big circle for as many people as could get in. It wasn't just squares. So we called it running sets. And we'd do the same steps and everything, but they wouldn't allow the fiddler to be there. They'd have to put the fiddles and the banjos and everything away and just clap their hands and do the steps by singing a song. And then after a while, that preacher would be there about 6 weeks or 2 months or so. They would get him broke in good, and then we'd sneak the fiddles back out again. First thing you know, he'd be right in there dancing too, and saying, well, there's no harm in this. It's all right, you know. So we'd have to take it by the littles that way. And we'd always just get going real good, and a new one would come in, and we'd have to go back. So we went back and forth between play parties and running sets for all the time I was growing up. And those people from Chicago were the worst. Those missionaries from Chicago. Well, we'd always win them over, though, after a while. And so here's what used to happen when the fiddles were, when we were running sets, was that all the family went. Nobody stayed home. Little kids went, big kids went. Teenagers, courting couples, they all went. Grandma went, Mom and Dad all went. And nobody wanted to stay home. They didn't have any such thing as babysitters. So we'd all go. And about 11 o'clock, you'd be dancing along. You'd stumble over something. Look down, there'd be a little kid laying there sound asleep right under your feet. So you'd have to pick him up and take him in the back room, make a big room on the big feather bed for one more child, and put him there. And we'd all have to take time out, all the grown people, the grandmothers and the mothers and the teenage girls. Sometimes you could get them to take time out with you. Go in there and sort of make the bed go up and down and amuse the children. Some of them be laughing, some crying. Some are wanting to sleep, and some want to wake up. Just piles of them, you know. So you'd have to do something to amuse them. So the fiddle in the next room would be playing that old tune. It probably comes from an old Scottish tune somewhere, maybe a bagpipe tune for all I know. I know it was an old fiddle tune, and people danced to it. And after a while, you couldn't sing to the children, "Hush, little baby, don't say a word." There was too much noise for that. So you had to sing along with whatever the fiddle was playing. So there got to be a whole lot of verses made up to that baby old tune. It got to be called baby o, and it was a real old bouncing baby thing. And I've been back in there on the bed as a child and remembered people coming in and making up verses. And I was back there when my children were little, making up verses and trying to amuse the children. So I sort of think my theory is right, that that's where this song was born, was in those times. So here's Baby O with there's about 150 verses, I guess. I'll sing four or five of them for you. Thank you. sing it with me. What'll I do with the baby, oh? What'll I do with the baby, oh? What'll I do with the baby, oh? She won't go to sleep, the oh. And you have to try to think of something. Wrap her up in a tablecloth. Wrap her up in a tablecloth. Wrap her up in a tablecloth. Throw her up in the fodder loft. Sing it. What'll I do with the baby, oh? What'll I do with the baby, oh? What'll I do with the baby, oh? He won't go to sleep, the oh. Pull his toes, tickle his chin. Pull his toes and tickle his chin. Pull his toes, tickle his chin. Roll him up in the county pen. What'll I do with the baby, oh? What'll I do with the baby, oh? What'll I do with the baby, oh? He won't go to sleep, oh. Dance him north, dance him south. Dance him north and dance him south. Dance him north, dance him south. Pour a little moonshine in his mouth. What'll I do with the baby, oh? What'll I do with the baby, oh? What'll I do with the baby, oh? She won't go to sleepy, oh. Every time the baby cries, stick my finger in the baby's eye. That's what I'll do with the baby, oh. That's what I'll do with the baby, oh. This one. Of course, you never would really do that to the babies. You just sort of make them laugh that way. New children, don't you get any ideas of going home and sticking your finger in the baby's eye? Won't work. Mommy will spank you. In the evenings, cool of the evening in the summertime, we'd go out and sit on the porch. We'd have to work hard all day long in the summer in the cornfields. What do you have here? Cotton and peanuts and tobacco and stuff like that. But we had corn, and it was grown not in fields that you like you have here, not in proper fields, but on very steep hillsides, because that's all we had to grow it on. You can raise corn pretty well that way, and it'll clear out a little new ground. And there's a lot of rocks and stumps and things to fight all the time, but Dad would just about manage to raise enough corn to feed us and the old mule and cow and the pigs and chickens through the winter. And, of course, we used some of the animals for meat, and the cow gave milk, and that's how we lived, was just on what we could raise ourselves, and didn't have any market for anything. We did have to buy flour if we wanted flour, but if we were satisfied with cornbread, and some people had to be because they didn't have any money or any way of buying flour, they would you'd have cornbread three times a day or cornmeal mush or something like that. And our family was always just on the brink of starvation, but we always had enough to eat in those last winter months before we could plant again. But one of the nice things about the summer, after you worked hard in a cornfield all day, you knew that in the evening you'd go and come down, run down to the river. It was the north fork of the Kentucky, pretty little green river, and jump in that river and wash off and get a little swim and bath and come up and have supper and wash all those thousands of dishes. And I always tried to push people out on the porch as soon as I could because I knew that was when we were going to start the evening sing, and that's what we did. We didn't have any television, didn't have any radio, and that's before all those things were invented. So we had to just do it ourselves. And we'd get out there and we'd sing all the songs we knew, or, you know, try to, and Mom would make us go to bed before we got halfway anywhere as near through all the songs we knew. So we'd save some for the next night, kind of try to sing them all as the week went by. We had hundreds of them. But the ones I liked the best were the ballads, because they told a story, and children always like to have stories told to them. And most of the ballads were sad and tragic, and everybody died in the end. And Mama called them old-timey love songs. So here's one of them. It's called Lord Thomas and Fair Ellender. And the other girl in the triangle was called the Brown Girl. She was not a black girl, because this was a Scottish ballad. She was a dark-complected Scot, and Fair Ellender had red hair or blonde hair, look maybe like I did. I always thought, I always imagined I was the Fairy Islander anyway, and I was the one that got killed first. So I was very tragic. I was a very tragic heroine. I always sit there and look out in the mist and the moon rising over that little river, lightning bugs coming out, and just imagine all the different parts that I could see them going by on their milk-white steeds and all those fancy things and kings and castles. And it was all very exotic to a little girl in the Kentucky mountains where we just had not even sidewalks, but we just had little plank houses and log cabins and dirt roads and things like that. Oh, mother, come riddle it down. Come riddle two hearts as one. Oh, must I marry Fair Islander, say, or bring the brown girl home? Now the brown girl, she's got houses and lands. Fair Islander, she's got none. Oh, the best advice I can give you, my son, is go bring me the brown girl home.
Thomas, he dreamed.
This is an old one, too, although this version of it is not as old as that version of that one. This is a ballad called George Collins. And in the old books, if you look it up, it's about a woman who was a demon. And if she kissed a man, then he slowly wasted away and died. I think there's probably girls like that around still today, but she was really supposed to have some supernatural powers. And in this version of the song, though, you don't, it doesn't tell that part of the story. It just has it honed down, and all the verses are left out except just a sort of a love story verse. But the love story implies in this version that he, George Collins, was kind of a ladies' man, because when he died, all kinds of women died for love after he kicked off. So this is a kind of a mountainized version of it, too. So it used to be, I'm sure, in the old countries, it was a very delicate ballad like Lord Thomas and Fair Elender, but this is a kind of mountain version of it. George Collins drove home one cold winter's night. George Collins drove home so fine. George Collins drove home one cold winter's night, was taken sick and died. His little sweet Nell in yonder's room was so my introduction, then, I sort of got my versions of songs mixed up. The one that tells about all the women dying for his sake was the one that I found in Kentucky not long ago, I guess it was in Harlan County, Kentucky, and it was called Johnny Collins and talked about Dublin instead of any of the countries in England. And it's a real pretty tune. Let's see if I can remember it. I'll just do that verse about the women. let's see. I'll have to strum on the dulcimer to get to remember the tune of it now. Whose coffin, whose coffin, whose coffin, said she? Whose coffin so neat and so fine? 'Tis young Johnny Collins's clay cold corpse, an old true lover of thine. The news went round through Dublin town. You could see it on Dublin's gate. Six pretty fair maidens that died last night. And it's all for Johnny Collins's sake. I kind of like that version better, I think. this song here is another kind of a ballad. I know you all are getting chilly and you want to get up and jump around a little. Please feel free to do so. Just stand up and wave your arms or something if you want to. I'm going to do that pretty soon myself. But this is a kind of a ballad that that people don't realize is a ballad. I really think it's a mummer's. It comes from an old mummer's play, an old ritual play in England, in Nottinghamshire probably. And it's been in my family ever since we've been in this country. I think the old ancestors, their five brothers, came over from Scotland, and then they came on an English ship in 1768. So they brought the song with them, and when going over to England and searching around in Nottinghamshire and around in there, they don't even have their mummers play anymore, and they don't have this song. Nobody remembered it, but it stayed alive in the mountains of Kentucky. It's a beautiful song, and some of you will recognize the tune. If you don't know Nottingham Town, which I'm going to sing, you'll recognize the tune as one that was used on one of Bob Dylan's early records. He took the tune and made a song called Masters of War. It was the Nottingham Town tune, which he agreed to after I fussed at him about it. First he said he wrote it himself, and then but then anyway, here it is. I think that could be a little nearer, but I guess it's all right. But this is the old Ritchie family song, Nottingham Town, and it's we used to try to sing it on the front porch and make it, laugh at it, because it's a kind of a funny words. The words are supposed to be humorous, but the tune wasn't humorous. The tune was very beautiful and ethereal and sort of floated around on the air. So we'd sing it just for the beauty of the song, and even though the words were kind of crazy, and we didn't realize it was a mummer's play song, because that's what in all the mummer's play songs I've heard run into since, they're all that way. They all try to disguise their meaning. And the reason they do that, they say, is because if you can get the meaning of the song, if you know what it means, well, then the magic is lost. It's supposed to be a magic song. Around the turn of the year, they have these plays in England, and they always have a song in connection with them. And the play and the song and the giving of the play in the town is supposed to make good luck for the coming year. They're had about, around 12th night every year, or 6th of January. And it's supposed to make the crops grow and the cows have healthy calves and things like that. Nottingham Town. Fair Nottingham Town, not a soul would look up, not a soul would look up, not a soul would look down, not a soul would look up, not a soul would look down, to show me the way to Fair Nottingham Town. I rode a gray horse, a mule roaney mare, gray mane and a gray tail, a green stripe down her back. Saddle to stirrup, I mounted again, and all marching before. I'm a stark naked drummer, a beating a drum. With his hands in his bosom, come marching along. They laughed and they smiled, not a soul did look gay. They talked all the while, not a word did they say. I bought me a quart to drive gladness away and to stifle the dust, for it rained the whole day. Set down on a hard, hot, cold, frozen stone. 10,000 stood around me, and yet I was alone. Took my hat in my hands for to keep my head warm. 10,000 got drowned that never was born.
Yes. Well, here's a song that maybe will warm you up a little. This is one of the first, people get to singing for people for a long time. I say singing for people, because we always sang for ourselves at home. And the first time that my father found out that I was singing for people and getting money for it, he got very upset. And he said that, why don't you come home and get a job in the bank or do some honest work instead of just getting paid for playing. I was working in a settlement house at the time, and I thought it was pretty hard work, working with the kids and singing, doing music with them. And he didn't think that was hard. He said, you're just playing games and singing songs, and you have no business taking money for it. And so he felt that way all the time. He thought that music was just something to be enjoyed and not sold or commercialized. So anyway, as I started to say, when you sing for people for a long time, or to sing for yourself, after a while you get to changing things a little bit. When you forget a line, you'll make up one. And you think, well, that's pretty good. I'll sing it that way all the time. And so you've changed it. You've actually made up something to that song. It's part of you. You've put yourself into it. But after a while, then you get to make it up. So there get to come along situations that don't have any song, and you want to sing about it. So you'll make up one. And this is the very first one I ever made up, and it was for my children. It's a children's song. When the two of them were, I guess about 6 and 2, they're 4 years apart, two boys, Peter and Johnny. And we were having bedtime one night. Now, my mother, we always sort of told each other stories because there's so many of us. She never came in and sat with us or anything, have bedtime. But just having two, we had bedtime religiously every night. That's the only way they'd go to bed. And so it would be one more story and one more song and one more drink of water and one more story and one more drink of water and one more song, one more drink of water. And then it would be two more drinks of water, because it's two of them. Everything gets magnified. So after a while, there comes that little magic moment when you can shut the door and sneak out and everybody's happy. We say goodnight. And I was just doing that one night. I was just going out that door and shutting it. And I heard this little voice, I don't know which one it was, from inside saying, Mommy! What's the prettiest thing you ever saw? And ordinarily, I would have just shut the door and gone on, but I went back in because I suddenly remembered what it was. It was when I was very little, I don't know how old, maybe 4 or 5, maybe younger. And I just, the vision flashed into my mind of being under this apple tree in what my daddy called his orchard, 3 or 4 apple trees out in the backyard. And the June apple tree always bloomed first, and I guess it was it that was in bloom. I was laying there under that tree, smelling the blossoms and feeling the warm air. It just means so much to people who don't have summer all year long like you do. that first warm spring day, those first warm spring days. Well, I was lying out there enjoying those apple blossoms and the blue sky and sniffing everything and feeling good. And then the sky got dark and there's funny whirring noise over the tree. And I thought the storm was coming up, and I started to get up. Just as I started to move, I realized what it was, and I laid very still because it was a whole lot of bluebirds. It was maybe over 100, I imagine, 125, 150, and they all just sort of fluttered down into that tree, and that was such a pretty sight. I lay very still, and when they flew away, I ran as fast as I could into the house and yelled at my mother and told her about it. And she kind of smiled, and she said, "Did you count them?" And I said, "Well, I can count to 10, but there's a whole lot more of them than that." And she said, "Well, what I mean is, you say this little rhyme over and over, and when they rise and fly, that's your fortune. You can tell your fortune that way." I was so excited. She taught me the rhyme, and I was going to run right out and do that. And she said, "Well, honey, you may not ever see that again in your whole life, because it was such a beautiful thing. It's just given to people to see something that beautiful maybe once in a whole lifetime." And I said, "Well, I'll go out and look anyway." She said, "Well, you can go look if you want to." She didn't hold out much hope, and sure enough, I still am looking. But anyway, I told the boys that little story, and they liked it. They didn't have much of a plot or anything, but next night they wanted it again, and the next night they wanted it again, and after about 2 weeks, it got a rhyme, and it got a tune, and it got to be our song. So I sang it with them and for them for years, and nobody else heard it. And after a while, somebody else did hear it, and they liked it, and some grandmother wanted it, and some school teacher wanted it, and some teenager wanted it, and after a while, now a lot of people are singing my little bluebird song. It's very simple, and it's just the first thing I ever did. Now here it is. When I was a young thing, once on a day, dreaming under my apple tree, a great flock of bluebirds sailing through the sky, I spied my tree as they passed by. And oh, it was a wonderful sight to see when they settled down to rest in my apple tree. "Count them," said my mother. "How?" said I. Out of the window came this reply: "One, you'll have sorrow. Two, you'll have joy. Three, get a present. Four, get a boy. Five, receive silver. Six, receive gold. Seven's a secret that's never been told. Eight, a love letter with promises. Three, nine means your true love's as true as can be. Only once in a lifetime, the old folks say, the vision of the bluebirds will come your way. But only if you're dreaming, only if you're still, only in an apple tree on a green hill. So stop all your hurrying and worrying away, and take time for dreaming on a sunny day. Wait for the bluebirds, and when they come along, tell your fortune with bluebird song." Boys say it like this: "One, you'll have gladness. Two, you'll have strife. Three, get a present. Four, get a wife. Five, receive silver. Six, receive gold. Seven's a secret that's never been told. Eight, a love letter with promises. Three, nine means your true love's as true as can be." Not all songs that I have made up could be as happy as that. Well, that may have a little sadness in it, too, if you think about it, because you don't see that many bluebirds in one flock together anymore. Some thing is happening to the world. I think all of us are responsible. But this one is a very much sadder song, and I'll sing it to you today because I was requested to. It's about the strip mining that's happening in the mountains of Kentucky. Maybe some of you have heard about that. The coal, we have a lot of coal there, and we need the coal for warmth and for factories and for petroleum and a lot of different things. But the way they have started to get it out now is very bad for the people who live there, because they're doing surface mining, and those hillsides are like this, you know, so the surface, the top vein of coal is taken out, and everything else is thrown over on the people and on the houses in the valleys below, and it's not good to strip mine on slopes that steep. The reason they can do that is that about, 85 years ago or so, nice men came around and bought the mineral rights to all the people's land, bought ours for 50 cents an acre, and now that gives them a right to come in and just roll over your land however they want to, because we own 8 inches on top or something like that, and they own the rest underneath, so we have to have to. It says in the deeds you have to give them right away. So it's really very, very bad. They've passed a some legislation now about the steepness of the grade, and that is doing some good, but they still find all kinds of loopholes to come in and strip mine, get the coal out. So this song was written when they first started to do that on my land, and it's called Black Waters, and it's been recorded by several different people and used by people in the South who are fighting this for various slide films and things like that. But I'm just happy that if it can do any good. I about give up hope when we had the energy crisis and everybody said, well, you know, we have to have a coal come no matter how we get it out. And so I gave up hope and stopped singing it. But then I heard just last year sometime from a friend who had been out west that the Indians out in Arizona were singing Black Waters, which is my song. So I got happy about it again and started and brought it out. And here it is. It's just a personal song. I come from the mountains, Kentucky's my home, where the wild deer and the black bear so lately did roam. By cool rushing waterfalls, the wildflowers dream, and through every green valley there runs a clear stream. Now there's scenes of destruction on every hand, and there's only black waters run down through my land. Destruction on every hand. Black waters run down through the land. Oh, the quail, she's a pretty bird, she sings a sweet tongue. In the roots of the tall timber, she nests with her young. But the hillside explodes with a dynamite's roar, and the voices of the small birds will I don't really know what kind of problems you have and pollution-wise here in Florida. I guess you must have some. Everybody has some. I don't know if the Suwannee River is so pure or not. But I know that that's what people here at the Foster Center are trying to do, is to help keep the world clean, and I think we all need to do that. I had planned to have an intermission and come back and sing some more. I don't know how warm you all are, how cold you are. I'll sing you I want to sing some Christmas songs. I'm going to sing right now a song for the season that's just passed, a Halloween song, and then you all can get up and walk around a while. And if any of you want to stay, well, we'll sing some more. And if not, well, we'll just call it a day right now. I'm willing to go on. I'm not too cold because I've got my long johns on. This is one we always used to love when there was people who had come to see us who around Halloween time who never had heard this song. We just wanted to sing it for them because we called it the scary song. That's not really scary. It's got a chorus, too, that you might learn if you're really smart. It's called There Was an Old Woman All Skin and Bones. There was an old woman all skin and bones. Ooh, that's the chorus. She lived down by the old graveyard. Ooh, one night she thought she'd take a walk. Ooh, she walked down by the old graveyard. Ooh, she saw the bones a-laying around. Ooh, she thought she'd sweep the old church house. Ooh, she went to the closet to get her a broom. Ooh, she opened the door and woo! I made you jump. Just get up and get warmed up a little bit, and if you want to stay, we'll sing a little more. About 5 minutes. Oh, please come up and see the display of photographs up here taken by my husband. They're all relatives and scenes and things around in my part of Kentucky.
Vineyard from Cornish.
Hi. Warm up my hand.
You know Denver and Irene?
Yeah, I just saw him the other day.
Have you been back in the hill?
Yeah.
I'm his brother.
I had some requests in the meantime, and I hope I remember them all. I thought maybe I'd start with those. One was the Hangman song, and what were the others? Sugar on the Floor, and there was another one. Can't remember what it was. Was it a Christmas? Oh, yeah, it was a Christmas song. Maybe I'll start with that one. It's an unusual Christmas song. I'll do some other carols toward the end of this period. If I can remember, this is a version of the Holly and the Ivy in the what we call the old tune. If I can remember it. It says, I'll do it unaccompanied because I don't know how to accompany it. But it's a one that we learned somewhere, and I guess maybe in Berea College the girls must have brought it home from there, but it's the old tune for my friend. I hope he's still here, the one who asked for it. Yeah, there he is. The holly and the ivy, when both are full well grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. Oh, the rising of the sun, the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir, sweet singing in the choir. The holly bears the berry as red as any blood, and Mary bore do poor sinners good. Oh, the rising of the sun, the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir, sweet singing in the choir. The holly bears the prickle as sharp as any thorn, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ on Christmas Day in the morn. Oh, the rising of the sun, the running of the deer, the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir, sweet singing in the choir. I don't know that I'll remember all the verses to Sugar on the Floor. It's been a long time since I've sung them, but it's just it's a jollier one. Get me started. How's it start? Sugar on the floor. Sugar on the floor. And the chorus. Sugar on the floor, sugar on the floor. Eat that up and call for more. Dance my shoes right off of my feet. With you, my little sugar on the floor. They used to say in the old floors were made out of they're all called puncheon floors. And they were rough when you first built your house, so that they loved to have the young people come in and shuffle around on the floors. And in order to make the floors, sand them a little bit, make them smoother, they would throw things, you know, like meal or salt or sugar, if they could spare it, down under the people's feet. So when they were running the sets, it would sand the floor at the same time. So that was why they would call it Sugar on the Floor. Let's see. I'll sing a verse or two of what I can remember. Oh, kiss her and hug her and stand her in a corner. Hey ho, sugar on the floor. Ain't she a pretty thing, pon my honor? Sweetest little sugar on the floor. Sugar on the floor, sugar on the floor. Eat that up and call for more. Dancing my shoes right off of my feet. With you, my little sugar on the floor. I can't remember any more of it, but that's it. Hangman, hangman, slack up your rope. Oh, slack it for a while. I look down yonder and I seen Pa coming. He's walked for a many long mile. Oh, Pa, say, Pa, have you brung me any gold to pay my fee? Or have you walked these many long miles, see me on the hanging tree? No, son, no, son, ain't brung you no gold for to pay your fee. But I just walked these many long miles, see you on the hanging tree. Hangman, hangman, slack up your rope, oh, slack it for a while. I look down yonder and I seen Ma coming, she's walked for a many long mile. Oh, Ma, say, Ma, have you brung me any gold to pay my fee? Or have you walked these many long miles, see me on the hanging tree? No, son, no, son, ain't brung you no gold for to pay your fee. But I just walked these many long miles, see you on the hanging tree. Hangman, hangman, slack up your rope, oh, slack it for a while. I look down yonder and I seen my true love coming, she's walked for a many long mile. Oh, true love, say, true love, have you brung me any gold to pay my fee? Or have you walked these many long miles, see me on the hanging tree? Yes, love, true love, I brung you some gold for to pay your fee, and I just come for to take you home so we can married be. Now, that's a happy ending anyway. I'll sing now a hymn. Somebody asked me for a hymn. I'll sing one that we call Long Lonesome Way. It's a... sometimes in the summertime when the church house would get too hot, they'd have the meeting over across the road in a big meadow where the hill sort of sloped down gently, and there was a big oak tree growing up that said they'd left there for the cows to shade under in the summer, and there's a lot of grass. They'd clean it all up beforehand, and then everybody'd go over and sit around on the hillside, And they had a platform built around that tree so the preacher could walk around and preach kind of in the round to the people. And they'd bring their dinner and stay all day. Sometimes Saturday would be a day they'd do that. And it would be singing day on Saturday and preaching day on Sunday. But sometimes in some of the meetings, what they'd do would be to have drones for accompaniment. They never had any instruments, any organs or pianos or anything, but they would have three or four men with good, strong voices stand around the tree facing out towards the congregation, and they would just go, just like that, and all the congregation, the song leader would line out the song, and the people would sing it. Now, lining out is the way the people would know what words were coming next, because in the old days, they didn't have any books, and so the song leader would have to give out each line. And it got to be such a custom that they still do that today, even though they have money for books and everything now. They still line out the hymns. It's become a part of the service. So this is, Father, won't you come and go along with me? And you all be the drones, and I'll sing the song and do the lining out. This is the old regular Baptist church that my mother and father belonged to. Now, the way you do it is you hum like that, but you don't get a breath when I do. You just hum as long as you can, and then you go, and you take a little breath like that, and you keep on humming, and that way the sound never stops. So let's try it. I'll just do a verse or two. Oh, Father, won't you come and go along with me, for heaven is my aim, for heaven is my aim. Jesus is gone, but he's coming back again. Jesus is gone, but he's coming back again to take his children home, to take his children home. Look away, look away, look the long lonesome way. Look away, look the way. Look the long, lonesome way. You can see the promised land. You can see the promised land. Look away, look the way. Look the long, lonesome way. Look the way. Look the long, lonesome way. You can see the promised land. You can see the promised land.
That's too high. Let's try this in here. My sister May got married in our yard. She was the second one to get married in the family, and I wasn't even born then because she was the oldest daughter and I was the youngest. And May and Ollie were both married by the time I came along. So she got married. Ollie got married first, and May had to dance in a pig trough. You know, they say when a younger one gets married, the one that's not married, has to dance in a pig trough. So she had to dance in a pig trough because her younger sister got married first. But her wedding was not long after, and they had it out in the yard, and they had a nice affair with plenty of food, all kinds of food in the world cooked up, you know, rabbit and squirrel and chicken and dumplings and all that stuff, and gingerbread stack cake and shucky beans and everything we could think of to cook up. And all the community was invited, and all the settlement school teachers came where May had gone to school, so it was a fancy affair. And after the ceremony was over, it was so short, it was kind of anticlimax, and
they looked around and they said, shouldn't something else happen at big weddings like this? And they said, well, there shall be some music. So the two littlest ones then were Pauline and Jewel, my sisters, and my sister Mallie told me about it. She said they had the prettiest purple gingham check dresses on, and they had this bright red hair, and they just looked like two little angels, and they stood under the snowball bush, and big snowballs dripping down over them, you know, and they just looked so pretty, and they opened their mouths, and out came, there was an old woman, and she had a little pig, and, you know, everybody laughed, and Mallie said, I like to died. But they sang it for a while, and then they started getting scared because everybody's laughing at them, and so the settlement school people saved the day by joining in, and then the whole company joined in, and everybody sang the song, and this has been known ever since then as Sister May's wedding song. It's going to be a little high, but you'll help me out on the chorus. That was a good one, actually, a good choice for the first song of the wedding, because when they got to that part, if you want any more, you can sing it yourself. Well, that was, everybody just laughed and fell on the floor and rolled around on the yard, and then they all started to pick out songs that they really wanted to sing, and they sang my sister May's favorite ballad, which was Ballad of John Riley. I'll do that one for you now. As I walked out one summer's morning to take the cool and pleasant air, I spied a fair and most beautiful damsel. Her cheeks were like some lily fair. Then I walked up to her, saying, don't you want to be a sailor's wife? Oh, no, no, she quickly answered, my mind is to lead a single life. Kind miss, what makes you different from all the rest of womankind? You are so fair, oh, young and handsome, my heart to you in love's inclined. Cancer, Cancer, I could have married some two or three long years ago, all to a man at the call, John Riley. He was the cause of my overthrow. Oh, come, leave off thinking of John Riley and sail with me to some distant shore. We'll go over to old Pennsylvania and there we'll dwell forevermore. No, I'll not leave off thinking of John Riley nor sail with you to no distant shore. My mind is with him, I can never forsake him, although his face I may never see no more. Then I walked up to her with sweet kisses, and the kisses I gave was 1, 2, 3, saying, I'm the man at the call, John Riley, returning home to marry thee. I often think of, I've told you a little bit about the life we had in growing up there in that big family in eastern Kentucky, and I often think how hard it was, must have been for my parents, my mother and father. Although they never complained, and they lived according to their rules, and she did her work, he did his work, and I'm sure she had many ways of keeping him in line, and although they didn't talk about women's lib or anything in those days, they just lived by the rules, and you had to in those days because there wasn't any other way to live. Everybody else around you, and there's sort of certain strict codes to live by in that little village. And people did. If you got out of line, you were put in jail or you were, you know, punished in some way. And it was a hard life because everybody was in pretty much the same boat as we were. They didn't hardly have enough to eat. I thought they didn't sometime. And we were all out there working in the fields and all just living by what we could do to make our own our food and get us through the winter so we could start over another way, another time. And I often thought about that. And Mom and Dad were a very devoted couple. In spite of all the hardships they had, they were more in love than any two people I ever saw. And I was born when they were old already, in their 40s, and my mother was. And so I was always impressed, we all were, as we grew up, to see how much they thought of each other. He'd go out in the fields and be gone too long, and she would say, now that old foolish thing, he's out there, he's cut himself with an axe or something, you all go see about him. And she'd just worry about him, and we'd have to go out and find him, and he'd just be sitting out there smoking his pipe or something. And he didn't know how long he'd been gone. So the same thing when she'd go over to borrow a cup of sugar or something from Aunt Maggie across the branch. She'd stay to gossip or something. She'd come home, and he'd say, Abby, I've been looking everywhere for you. Where you been? And she'd have to account for her time, you know, that she'd been away from him because he thought, well, I just thought maybe you got hurt some way or somehow, you know, I worried about you, he'd say. Don't make me worry about you like that. Let me know where you're going. And they always worried about each other like that. So when they got old, I remember one time when my daddy was about 85, he started to lose his memory. You know, old people do that sometimes. It's nature's way of kind of easing them out so that they don't worry about things too much, I guess. But my father was happy, and he'd hum around and sing around the house, but he got so he didn't know people. And after a while, he got so he didn't know my mother, and that really hurt her because she said she sort of took it kind of personally. And she would often say to us, if he could just come back for 15 minutes, I had so much I wanted to say to him. And we'd tease her. We'd say, now, Mom, you were married 60 years. Didn't you get enough said to him? And she'd say, well, no, there's a few things I still want to say. So one day it happened that she was walking around through the house one way and he was coming around the other way, and they banged into each other good and hard. And he just grabbed her by the shoulders, and just his eyes were as bright. And he said, Abby, where have you been? I've been looking everywhere for you. so for 15 minutes, they stood there and they talked and talked and talked, and he told her things and she told him things, and then slowly he faded away again. But she was happy after that because she said the Lord had answered her prayer. And that's kind of what this song is about. It's about the values that we have, and about all these songs that I've been singing talk about a way of life that holds you accountable for your being here. And I think that's one of the good things about folk music. That's why it lasts so long. It talks about the good things, the things that are worth saving in life. And this is a written song, but I think it talks about that too. It's called Still I Love Him. This is my own tribute to my parents and our life there. Who's this young one with bright hair shining, laughing, teasing, my heart binding? Folks all love him, so young and funny, they all know him, he's my Johnny. And I keep slaving. Life's all hunger, life's all craving. Still I love him. Still I love him. Still I love him. Though he knows it. Though he knows it. Still I tell him. Every morning. Every morning. Again. Two Christmas songs, and I think we're cold enough to go home and then have Christmas. This is Granny Caddy, my grandmother. My father's mother was named Rachel Ritchie, but we always called her Granny Caddy. She was called Caddy when she was a baby as a nickname, and that stuck with her all of her life, so she was Granny Caddy. And she would never celebrate. She'd kind of hang around the edges of when we celebrated December 25th. And she'd sometimes give us, you know, change presents and everything, but she'd never put her heart into Christmas then. She said, but always say, this is not the real Christmas. Christmas Eve is January 5th. It always has been and it always will be. And she would have old Christmas and celebrate her own way. She would sit in front of the fire and sit up to midnight and just sing Christmas carols to herself if we wouldn't sit around with her. And she would sit there and sort of pass her hand over her eyes, sit in front of the fire and sing her. And her favorite one was the one called Brightest, we called Brightest and Best. And it's in several hymn books today, but this is the old mountain tune that you may not be familiar with. In the shape note hymns, it's called Star in the East. But this is the Brightest and Best that she always sung. Hail the breast morn, see the great mediator. Down from the regions of glory descend. Shepherds go worship the babe in the manger. Lo, for a guard the bright angels attend. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star of the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid. Cold on his cradle the dewdrops are shining. Low lies his head with the beasts of the stall. Angels adore him in slumber reclining. Maker and monarch and king of us all, sing. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star of the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid. Vainly we offer each ample oblation. Vainly with gifts would his favor secure. Richer by far is the heart's adoration. Dearer to God are the prayers of the poor. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning, dawn on our darkness and lend us thine aid. Star of the east, the horizon adorning, guide where our infant Redeemer is laid. Thank you. Now this is the last one. It's a Christmas song, but it's a new Christmas song. It's sounds old, but it came into being. This is I sang this song about the holly and the ivy. This is called Just the Holly Carol, and it's a song that came to me when I had a, you know, in New York it's kind of hard to grow holly trees. Do you have holly here? Yeah. We have in Kentucky plenty of holly. It's just perfect weather, perfect climate for holly trees in Kentucky. But in New York, you have to get a northern-started holly tree from a nursery. And so I've planted them around my house, and slowly I've got several growing because I love holly trees. But one day in April, sometime May, I was walking around my house, and my holly bush was about so high. About that high. I was looking down on top of it, and I saw some sort of greenish, yellowish, dusty-looking stuff, and I tried to brush it off, and it happened to be the blossom. Started to say bloom and blossom at the same time. Bloosom. Anyway, it was the flower, of the holly tree, and it was so modest and so almost undiscernible that I thought there must be a lesson there somewhere. It must be some reason why it's that way. Got thinking about it, and I made up this little song about it, another little simple song. It's called The Holly Carol, and this will be the end. In the spring of the year stands a little holly tree with dark leaves, thorny and small. She is neither so green as the beechen queen, nor as the oak tree tall. Oh, the spring flowers spring and the little birds sing, but holly has nothing to say, for she quietly blossoms in the sweet Maytime, but her joy, joy, joy we share. Christmas Day. In the fall of the year, the beech turns brown, the oak stands naked and bare, but holly goes dancing in the snow-white fields with crimson lights in her hair. Oh, the spring flowers spring and the little but holly has nothing to say, for she quietly blossoms in the sweet Maytime, but her joy, joy, joy we share. Oh, men, her joy is a Christmas Day. Oh, hard is her heart, and bitter is her bark, cruel, sharp her thorn, but her berries red make her hearts all glad on the day our Lord was born. Oh, the spring flowers spring and the little birds sing, but holly has nothing to say, for she quietly blossoms in the sweet Maytime, but her joy, joy, joy Christmas Day. Merry Christmas to y'all. And if you think that I've got a trembly voice, it's because I'm really cold. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you. Just want to stay where you are. We'll do one last one since you're all so nice. What?
Would you do especially for all us Baptists in the audience, Amazing Grace?
Of course, yeah, I'd love to. You can either stand or sit if you want. If you're warmer standing up, just stand. If you're cold, if you're warmer sitting down, sit down. Whatever you like. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear, how precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, the hour I first
Believe this earth will soon dissolve like snow. This earth will soon dissolve like snow. This sun refused to shine. This sun refused to shine. The God that sent me here below, the God that sent me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. When we've been there 10,000 years, when we've there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun, than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. So we brought the shirt up. We finally sung the sunshine out.
Can you have some coffee with us? In case we don't get together later.
Let's see. Well.